Unfolding the eternal excellences, the hidden insights of the truth, and the depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge.
The Bible says, I have cleansed thee by the word. I have not pointed to your weaknesses. He says, I have cleansed thee by the word. I have pointed to your strength. And this is your strength, that I am Christ in you, the hope of glory.
The glory of freedom, the glimpses into eternity.
The gospel is not supposed to be an assumption. It's not supposed to be just a mere presupposition. Truth is older than language, but the word of God is way deeper than any human language.
And now, Apostle Grace with the Word.
Today I want to preach a sermon entitled, Walking in the Abrahamic Blessing. Walking in the Abrahamic Blessing. I want to help you understand what is the Abrahamic Blessing. What is the power and revelation behind the Abrahamic Blessing, and you to connect to it consequently. Hallelujah. I begin by confessing that as the Bible has spoken in Timothy, that in the latter times men shall depart from the faith, and they shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is unfortunately prevalent on many altars, that we import the wisdoms of the fallen world on our altars. We, for our human experiences, define the things that become doctrine and not the heart and mind of God. And so that is why the church is living powerless, and we are not efficient or effectual as we have been designed to be, because we are not preaching the truth. Remember, the essence of the truth is that men will walk in freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I know you've had some people preach certain things, or some of you have been around Christians who believe statements like, you know, as long as you're in this world, you will never have a perfect life. You will never have a perfect life. And some of you take that hook, bait, and sink. Why? Because you are comparing yourself with the circumstances prevalent, or looking at the people around you and what you have seen in life as experiences, and then deduced that that is supposed to be the way of life. That's a doctrine of the devil. This is the truth, that you are imperfect as a human being, that is in the flesh. But because you have imperfections in the flesh, it does not presuppose that you are going to live an imperfect life. That is why we teach grace, unmerited favor. Are you following what I'm saying? So yes, we are imperfect. And every time you speak about imperfection, always add in the flesh. Because in the spirit, we are perfect beings. We've been perfected by the work of Christ at that cross. That is why in Matthew, he tells you to be perfect, 5:48, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. God cannot hold you to a standard you are not able to fulfill. That is incongruent with his nature. It's not agreeable with his heart. How can God call you to a perfection that you're not able to earn? What is the essence of the gospel? He gave some prophets, apostles, evangelists, teachers, to do what? To perfect the saints for the work of ministry. In Colossians, he says, teaching men in all wisdom, that we might present them perfect in Christ. So the end of every believer is a perfection of the spirit. You might never or will never experience the perfection of the flesh, and that's okay. But because you are imperfect in the flesh, that doesn't mean that God has not guaranteed a perfect life. God has perfected men even in their imperfections. Are you following what I'm saying? That's just the way of the gospel. That's the heart of the Father. So people have brought in, you know, doctrines of the fallen world unawares, you know, fallen world wisdoms, and say things like, no man in this world can have it all. They're speaking human experiences, not the truth. Yes, you might have a good marriage, but you'll always have something that is short. Or maybe your finances might not work well. Or maybe, you know, your vision might be impaired, or whatever it is. But you will not live or have everything perfect in your life. Ah, what a deception. Don't expect to be blessed in every aspect. Read your Bible. Genesis 24 verses 1. I want you to hear what the Bible says. And let us, all of us, read. Let's read. 1, 2, 3, let's go. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. Laugh at the devil. And even before I preach this text, may I say that this shall be written of your end. And I want you to put your name. Let us read this scripture. And I want you to put your name. Listen. I always tell people, when you hear an instruction from the altar, especially telling you to repeat something, I'm doing that not just to have a good sermon. No, I'm provoking your spirit to confess, to plant that seed in the air. Because the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And they that love what? The confession shall eat of its fruit thereof. It's important for you to say this. Now, we're going to read that portion of scripture again. And where there is Abraham, you're going to put your name deliberately. 1, 2, 3, let's go. And was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord blessed in all things. Hallelujah, glory to God. When the Bible says all, God means all. Marriage, tick. Children, tick. Businesses, tick. Your body and health, tick. Your dreams and aspirations, tick. The car you wanted to drive, the house you wanted to live in, the nation you wanted to travel, the ministry you wanted to build. Oh! Glory to God. Let God be true and every man a lie. That is what we call the Abrahamic blessing. The Abrahamic blessing. God bless that man in all. Do you know what it means to be old and there's nothing wanting? Nothing wanting. Nothing wanting. Nothing. Everything. You're satisfied. The Bible says you go to your grave full of age. Full. With long life, he says, I will satisfy. Do you know what it's like to say, I'm tired, guys, let me go. Not because of problems. Not because you're dealing with witchcraft. But you're tired. You say, guys, I'm full. I met an old lady once. She was past 100. Do you know somebody telling you, I'm full. I'm full. Even if the Lord texts me tomorrow, I'm okay. I'm not asking for more. Yeah, I'm okay. May God fulfill you. May He fulfill you. May you look at your account and say, I'm full. May you look at your children and say, I'm full. May you look at the ministry and say, I'm fulfilled in Jesus' name. It's Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the way of the Spirit. That's the heart of the Father. Never settle for less. The Bible says in Psalms 25, the 12th verse, He asks, what is that man that feareth the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? Some people say, doing good things, good works. No. I know people who don't believe in God, but they do good works. They're not thieves. They're not liars. They're not schemers. But they don't have a relationship with God. This fear comes in understanding how to walk in a deliberate relationship with the Father. That's what it means to fear the Lord. To tremble at His word. Isaiah 66, you could read verses 5. He tells them, he talks to those to hear the word, them which tremble at His word. To tremble at the word of God. That when the word of God says this, you tremble at it. That's the fear of the Lord. You take it at heart to fulfill and walk in what the word of the Lord says. The word of the Lord. Because of your relationship with Him. That's a man who feareth the Lord. And that's what he's trying to explain in Psalms 25. He says, who is that man that feareth the Lord? What are the results of a man who feareth the Lord? One, the Bible says, him shall the Lord teach in the way that he shall choose. God will choose a way to teach you. He will start to show you things that other people don't see. Open your eyes to things many people are not able to access. Show you the deeper secrets of the kingdom. And because of that, verses 13, he says, that man's soul, his soul, the Bible says, shall dwell at ease. His soul shall dwell at ease. Very rich revelation. The man's soul shall be at ease. What is the opposite of being at ease? Diseased. So they say that person is suffering with a disease. That person is not at ease. And here we're talking about the place of the soul. Many people are sick in the body because their souls are sick. People are poor in their body because their souls are poor. People are struggling in the body because their souls are struggling. When the soul is reconciled to agree with the spirit, that man conquers anything without. Remember, it's three. You are a spirit with a soul in a body. You are a spirit with a soul in a body. And the Bible says, two or three must agree for every testimony. For a testimony is established at the witness of two or three. So two of the three must agree. And the flesh will never agree with your spirit. The flesh will always be enmity to the spirit. These two will never agree. Your flesh will always fight against the spirit. It lusteth against the spirit. And the spirit lusteth against the flesh. That's what the Bible says. Galatians 5:16. Now. But there's always one person that always comes in the middle to choose which line they agree with. If your soul inclines to the side of the flesh, there is nothing your spirit can do. If your flesh feels sick and your soul agrees that it is sick, or if your soul gets sick, it's already agreeable to the flesh, because the flesh was designed, like Romans 8, to transact with a fallen world. That's why the Bible says, if you by the Spirit mortify or kill the transactions or the deeds of the flesh, you'll surely live. Because this flesh is there always to transact with your fallen nature. The spirit is there always to transact with your elevated, renewed person. That new creature, righteous form. Okay? So now, you have the soul, you have the spirit, you have the body. Right? So your soul is always in the middle. If it is diseased, it will always agree with your fallen nature. And a person whose soul and body agree, nothing in the world can heal them. That's what they call the breaking of your spirit, the breaching of the spirit. You break the spirit when you cause your soul to agree with the circumstances of your body or the prevailing circumstances without. If you think you're poor and you're emotionally inclined to the pain of a poor man, that's your soul sick. It's agreeing with the circumstances without. But if you're suffering financially, but you have refused your soul to agree with the poverty, it means that your soul is agreeable to the spirit. Right? Now, the Bible says, if a man feareth the Lord, walks in his word, that man, the Bible says, the Lord will teach him in his, the ways of the Lord. And when you learn the ways of the Lord, it delivers your soul. That is why you come to church. You could come broken and you're troubled and you're sunken and sullen, and then you hear good sermon, and then you go back and, you know, you're happy, you're excited. Not because your circumstance has changed necessarily, but the message has fed your soul to ease. Yes, the disease maybe has not yet left the body, but your soul is at ease. That means your soul is agreeable with the spirit. If your soul can agree with your spirit, it cannot be defeated by the situations of the flesh or anything without. That's how God has designed life. Because he has set a law in motion that the testimony of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper in health, in wealth, above all, even as your soul prospereth. It's important for you to be wealthy, but to find your soul in the right place. It's important for you to be healthy, but your soul should be in the right place. Because if your soul is put in the wrong position, doesn't matter how much health you have or wealth, they're going to be compromised. Have you understood that? So he says, the man that heareth the word of the Lord, his soul shall be brought at ease. And this is the secret that the Lord showed me. That ease of the soul is the divine expression of prosperity. When we talk about prosperity, what do we mean? When we say that person is a prosperous person, a person who is prosperous is a person whose soul is balanced at ease. It's free from the influence of the flesh or the fallen world. That means it's agreeable with your spirit. That's a perfect balance. That's a balanced man. A man which is balanced is a man whose soul is inclined to the spirit. It is at ease. It is free from the disparities of the fallen world. This is important because many people are not balanced in their soul. How do I know? Your emotions, your thought life, how you think, your imaginations show the state of your heart. Your imagination. When the Bible says that the eyes of your understanding being flooded with light, the word there for understanding is your imagination. That your imagination will be illuminated. But the imagination cannot be illuminated as it ought when the soul is in the dumps. The soul has to be set at liberty. It must carry that ease. Are you following what I'm saying? You're firstly seeking the soul to carry that sickness in the body. You're firstly poor in the soul to carry that poverty in the body. That is what God serves on salvation. The salvation of your soul. This is an important thing. Your spirit is not saved because it's not fallen. It doesn't need redemption because it's pure. It's from above. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, when you find yourself at ease, even when you don't have a job yet, or you're not yet married yet, or nothing is yet reconciling, but you can have that perfect, that optimum reconciliation of ease in your soul, that man eventually will start to show the results of prosperity. Hallelujah. That is why the Bible says, if you go back in that portion of scripture and read it in the Amplified Version or New KJV, the Bible says, let's begin from up, verses 12. Okay. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Now, this is the New King James. Who is the man that fears the Lord? The Bible says, him shall he teach in the way he chooses. The Lord chooses. Verses 13 again. He himself, that man, shall dwell in prosperity. So I know people who say, you know, this prosperity gospel. Let me explain what happened. The devil tricked the church. And only smart people can figure this out. If you're smart, you're going to understand it. Some people started teaching the doctrine of prosperity And in teaching it, they went beyond the boundaries of that liberty because they did not teach it in wisdom. And because they did not teach it in wisdom, it became a manipulative kind of doctrine that left a pungent feeling in the heart of those which were balanced. But to the imbalanced, when that pungent feeling came, they disqualified the whole doctrine to say it's wrong. And why did the devil do that? Such that we don't teach people about prosperity in truth. And because we don't teach prosperity in truth, many souls are sick. Sick. And because they're sick, you see that in their bodies, you see that in their finances, you see that in their marriage, their education, their dreams, their aspirations, or many are stale and stuck. Because the devil knew that if you teach this right, it's going to be a problem. It's like if you are talking about prophecy, that when you meet a right prophet, a genuine prophet, and they prophesy in your life can change. Because God can save a nation through a prophet. But the devil started to send in fake prophets, people who are working with spirits of divination, you know, and Apollos. And when those spirits infested the church, some people said, to hell with all the prophets. And the devil was happy because he wanted to disqualify the prophetic office. So it is with this, that when prosperity is preached in the right balances, you'll be amazed that that is the heart of God. He wills that all men prosper. Or, in other words, he wills that all men's souls are set at ease. But the other people had abused it because this ease that was given to the soul was a liberty that came with malice, manipulation. They used the liberty for their own personal gain. They used that liberty or abused that liberty to do evil. But Paul has warned us before that it's possible for a man to use liberty for malice. He says, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. So this liberty can be abused. But because it's abused, then you don't teach a doctrine that takes away the liberty like some have done. Only those who are mature have understood what I've said. And you'll be amazed how many men of God don't understand this balance. But if you have, you're blessed. Now listen, back to the scripture here. He says, that man shall be prosperous. He shall dwell in prosperity. He shall dwell in prosperity. Prosperity won't be a visitor. Prosperity will not be a what? A visitor. It won't be something that beeps you. Today you're prosperous, tomorrow you're not prosperous. Today it's working, tomorrow your business isn't working. No, he has promised you shall dwell in prosperity. And he says, and your seed, your descendants shall inherit the earth. Glory to God. Your descendants shall inherit the earth. And then just down there, the next verse, he says, not many people understand this secret because they don't fear him. They don't walk in his word. They don't study his word. To fear the Lord is to study scriptures. He says the secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. And when you study those words, that word, the scriptures, he says he will show you his covenant. Because the covenant of God is a revelation. Not everybody to whom it is read carries its revelation. The covenant, I repeat, of God is a revelation. And not many people understand this covenant. Not many people carry the revelation of the new covenant and are practitioners or express themselves in this covenant. So blessed are your eyes if you're able to see what I'm teaching. Because I know there are many people watching me who might not agree with me, even though everything I'm teaching is from the word. Because their eyes are blind to what God has promised. I don't know how many people I have studied intricately as teachers of the word, and they use their own personal experiences to define doctrine and not the word of God. He prayed and prayed and prayed and failed to heal and said, some people are not going to be healed. Because he prayed for himself and failed to get healing, he has now denigrated the word of God to his experiences and disqualified the blood of Christ that was shed, not only for our remission of sins, but for the healing of our body, because that's the double-edgedness of that sword. Okay, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and the other side of the sword, by his stripes we are healed. Never talk about salvation if you can't believe in healing, because those two go together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. The one side of the sword, he that forgives all my transgressions or iniquities and heals all my diseases. He forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Some people believe in the forgiveness of sins, but not the healing of their body. If you believe that you're born again, then you must believe for the healing of your body. If you don't believe for the healing of your body, then question your place of salvation, because it means you might not have a full revelation of what it meant for God to be bruised and wounded. Isaiah says he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. How, in that beating, we considered him stricken, afflicted, and smitten of God. When he was being beaten, some people thought he was being punished. But in that beating, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He bore our sicknesses. Read the Amplified version of that. Isaiah 53 verses 4. Surely, read, he has bore our grief. What is that grief? Sickness, weakness, and distress, and carried our sorrows, the pains of punishment. Yet, in our ignorance, in the other nature, we considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. Listen, if Jesus had just been, you know, smitten with a sword, all right? If a man just walked to Jesus and just put a sword through his heart and he died, that's his death. But this one was beaten deliberately, because every stroke touching you was speaking to cancer. Every stroke touching you was speaking to diabetes and high blood pressure. It was speaking to your kidneys. It was speaking to those allergies. So you can't believe in salvation and not believe in healing. Yes, the sickness might still carry symptoms in your body. Like, yes, even though you're born again, you might find some weaknesses. You're still struggling with cigarettes, what? Yes, but that doesn't mean that you're not what? Born again. And neither does that not mean that you're healed, because you still see symptoms in your body. Hey, and to fight and say that in spite of these symptoms, I was healed of the Lord. That's a man whose soul is at ease. So he says he shall show you his covenant. He will reveal to you the deeper mysteries of his covenant. Your children shall inherit the earth. But look at this prosperity, the ease of your soul. He says it's a place that you stay in. It's not a place you visit. Prosperous forever. Hey, glory to God. Job 36 verses 11. Let's first read it from the KJV. He says, if they obey and serve him, listen, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Tap somebody and tell him it's possible. And that's my lot. Isn't that amazing? They will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. The divine expression of prosperity is the ease of your soul. Things come easy. One day I'm on a flight and I'm meditating. And I tell people, I must say this also. Some of you say, oh, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time, you know, pastor, I'm very busy. And I tell people, but you have time in your car. You have one whole hour to get to work. What are you doing that hour? Listening to the morning news to know what's happening in the nation, but you don't know what's happening in heaven. That's secondary. To know what's happening in the nation should be secondary. To know what's happening in heaven should be your primal agenda. Buy a radio and put a good radio in a car. Put sermons. Listen to a sermon going, speak in tongues. Instead of expressing road rage. You know, some of you, you're Christians, you have a Fanero sticker in the car back there, or men gather, but you find the person in the mirror. The devil is pursuing you. Get that car. Use it as your altar, your consecration. Put in a sermon. Listen to the word and drive home. Speak in tongues. If you have 2 hours, driving to 1 hour, coming back 2 hours, that's 2 hours of prayer. Discipline yourself. If it happens and you do it consistently for 3 months, it becomes a part of your life. You'll never enter that car and look at it as just a vessel. You look at it as an altar. If you're in a taxi, buy some headphones. Put them in your ears, on your border, and listen to the word as you go home. Are you following what I'm saying? Speak in tongues. So I was on flight meditating, and I'll never forget that day. The Lord came and spoke to me as audible as I'm talking to you, if you can hear me. I heard the voice very clearly. He said, son, you're entering a dimension where things are going to come easy. Immediately he carried me in a vision to explain to me what that meant. But even that vision could not give me the full expression until I started to walk in the experience of that ease. Saints, when you enter that dimension, you'll be amazed at how deceived this fallen world is, that everything must come through struggle and strife. Let me tell you, there is a law the heavens have set in motion to make things come easy. My wife is living proof of those people who are around my life and they find themselves giving me money all the time, sowing in me. Pastor Zach, they sow in me a lot because there's things they see and they say, I need to connect to this. They see it because they see how easy things come. And even to the minutest details, I'll give you a simple story. Minutest. One of those days I wake up in the morning, my auntie's walking in the room with my wife. They're busy on their chores. And I stand and I tell them, you know what, guys? I feel I've not eaten sugar cane for a long time. Then my auntie's like, don't worry, we shall get you some. And we can send for some. We get in the car, we come for service. Mrs. Lukuago, the wife of Pastora, she asks for a meeting. I'm in the back. Then she comes with a container. Says, Daddy, Daddy, the Lord told me you need sugar cane. Somebody shout, easy! My wife sees it and she connects. You ask her, I can think, I need a certain kind of shoe. And somebody buys it for me that day. I look at the car and I see it and I like it. And the money appears immediately. I think of an amount of money I need to buy a certain property X. And it appears. And that's my life. That's my life. And some of you are connecting to it this afternoon. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, I thank you. Because it's an anointing. See how Fanero is growing. Easy. Look at how we are doing ministry. Busy but easy. Everything is effortless. No struggle, no strife. Oh, that is how it's going to be on your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, it's an anointing, so some are receiving it now. It's heavy. Are you following what I'm saying? Anything I want, Even before I imagine a thing, I could need something on Saturday and somebody buys it on Tuesday. Effortless. I enter doors effortlessly. God is moving. Brashekata parabrodegata. Hallelujah. That's what Job 36:11 is saying. Read it in the Message version. 1, 2, 3, let's go. If they obey and serve him, they'll have a good and long life on easy streets. Touch three people and tell them I'm on easy street. I'm living on easy street. Confess it with your mouth. You're the one creating your world. Tell them I am living on easy street. You said this year I'm getting married on June. Money starts coming. People start flying in to help. Some of you, you've been on dates for 1 year, 2 years, three, four. You're still dating. Today I'm breaking the spirit of serial dating. Fire! Let's go on a date. That's struggle. How can they date you for 4 years? That's a spirit of struggle. 6 months, a man should already know. At most. I have daughters here. A man walked to her straight and told her, you are my wife. 2-3 months later, they were getting married and they're happy. No demon involved. No struggle. Easy. Parents, that's what we pray for our children in the name of Jesus. Our children will not struggle to settle in marriage in the mighty name of Jesus. Job's easy. For me, all my life, Job's always looked for me. They came hunting me. Since I entered the bank, offers kept coming. They were always hunting. I never hunted. I was the hunted. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Some of you, money is going to start hunting you. I prophesy as a man of God. Wealth is going to start hunting you for the purposes of God. God will use you to help the widow, help the orphan, because somebody needs to do that. And for a man who can help the poor, surely money should look for you. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah 62 verses 12, you shall be called a city sought out. You shall be called a city sought. Put the hand on your head. I want you to say these words. Say, I am a city sought out because I'm the redeemed of the Lord. Do you know what you've just confessed? Do you know what you've just said on your life? Presidents are going to think about you. Kings are going to think about you. The greatest are going to think about you, and they are going to look for you. That's what they call the Abrahamic blessing. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is the heart of God. Proverbs 10:22. You all read this portion of scripture, but I want to show you the heart now. I want to show you the heart of God. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow. Listen to the heart of the Lord. Listen to the heart of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord, he's the one who blesses you to make you rich, comma. And the Bible says, he addeth no sorrow. He addeth, he addeth no sorrow. God addeth no sorrow. He makes sure that the blessing that pursues you, that woman that is given you, that husband that is given you, that son that you bore, will not sleep out at night on drugs. He will add no sorrow. That you shall not produce children for the enemy. For your daughter to be raised in church and tomorrow you hear she's selling her body.
Somebody say fire. For you to be educated and not find a job, the blessing that took you to university, got you that master's degree, how can you stand before a person and not find favor, and your countenance not carry some glory enough to attract unemployment? Fire. It's not our portion. He has not brought you this far to fail. Glory to God. He addeth no soul. But you've heard the world singing, more money, more problems. Nah, tell your neighbor no. They say more money, more problems. No. More money, no problems. That's your life. No sorrow in Jesus' name. You'll not regret your children. You'll not regret your marriage. You'll not regret that job. You will not regret. That's what they call Abrahamic blessing. It touches all aspects. It blesses in all. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9 verses 8. God is able, the Bible says, to make what? Come on. To make what? All grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. How many times has he said all? Three. Some of you, especially from your African culture, you remember those times when you've messed up and your parent calls you. He says, grace. Yes, mommy. Grace. Yes, mommy. Grace. Yes, mommy. How many times have I called you? This is what 2 Corinthians is saying. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. All sufficiency is not only financial. I'm sufficient in my ministry. I'm sufficient in my marriage. I am sufficient in my parenthood. I am sufficient in that CEO office. I am sufficient. I am sufficient. My bosses don't look at me and regret hiring me. They look at me and say, that man is for the job. You're a sufficient wife. You're a sufficient daughter, all sufficient. To make you abound in every good work, that if there's anything good happening in that organization, that house, that business, that ministry, you carry a strand on it. Shout glory. But my God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. He didn't say needs. He said all my need. That means everything you need. Beyond the physical. Need here touches even the spiritual. Beyond. He says all your need. Here it's not just the physical needs. He's talking about even the spiritual. Even the spiritual. Everything you need that pertains to life and godliness is already available. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verses 7. And I want all of us to read it. 1, 2, 3. Let's go. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of That means the blessing on Abraham extends on his seed, and you carry the right of being seed because you are of faith. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ,
You're a child. Next verse 8 says, and the scriptures, let's read, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached this gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. All. When you understand that justification through faith, and the fact that even the heathen is a seed of Abraham by faith, what he gave Abraham is yours. Abrahamic blessing means in thee all nations shall be blessed. That means everything coming out of you or connected to you. I'm talking to that parent who is worried that your daughter is 37 and she's not yet married. I'm talking to that man who is saying your son is 42 and they don't have a job. He says, in thee all nations shall be blessed. That means everything that came out of your loins or is connected to you, it shall be blessed. Your children will not fail. Yes, maybe you've been struggling or your children have been struggling. Now, today, change it. Change it. I've given you the key. Last verse 9 to read. Let's read this all together. 1, 2, 3, let's go. So then, they which be of faith, the Bible says, are blessed with faithful Abraham. You are blessed with faithful Abraham. You are blessed with faithful Abraham. He is yours. The Abrahamic blessing by faith is yours. As he is blessed, the scripture says, so are you. Now, you understand why Genesis 24 is yours? And your name, and was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord blessed in all things. Glory! Everything you do, it shall carry the Abrahamic blessing. You're going to drive Abrahamic. You're going to build Abrahamic. Listen, the Bible says Sarah was a beautiful woman. You're going to marry Abrahamic. In Isaac shall your seed be called. You're going to produce Abrahamic. Hey, you're going to study Abrahamic. You're going to serve Abrahamic. You're going to walk Abrahamic. You're going to pray Abrahamic. You're going to sing and worship Abrahamic. You're going to build Abrahamic. You're going to minister Abrahamic. You're going to multiply Abrahamic. Increase Abrahamic. Fight and overcome Abrahamic. Stand Abrahamic. Leave Abrahamic. Conquer Abrahamic. Your children are going to look like Isaac. He walks to a well and it is dry and he digs it. And because it's Isaac who has dug that well, this is what's going to happen to your children. They'll do businesses that don't naturally bring money. And because your child is doing that business, it shall be a success. Thus saith the Lord. He says, your children shall be for signs and wonders. They will be portents. They'll be taught of God, and their peace shall be many. Don't worry about your children. You might be struggling with fees, but this thing that we are going to pray, this thing we are going to conjure, this thing we are going to provoke, he's going to change that story. When I understood this thing, listen, when I understood this thing, I realized I live in a third world country, but I'm not of the third world country. Did you get it? I don't live on debt. I don't live on aid. I don't believe that an American or a British person can have anything that I'm not able to have. I don't believe that. Some of you, you fault people for living an Abrahamic lifestyle. Listen, it's not wrong if somebody has not robbed and if they have purpose on their life. Don't judge people because they are living big. Some of you, you have a big problem. And if I think about it, and I can estimate that almost everybody understood this sermon. Then people are going to have problems with you. People are going to have problems with you. Why her? Why is she the one with this? Why is he the one with... Why him? Why? You simply answer, I am walking in the Abrahamic blessing. And there is nothing they can do. Let me tell you, that thing can't be stopped by witchcraft. Witchcraft. Let them send. Witchcraft on Abrahamic covenants. Witchcraft on an Abrahamic covenant. It can't undo anything God promised Abraham and his seed. That is why, to show you how deep this is, when Jesus wanted to come, he had to come as a seed. Read Matthew 1:1. He says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, but above all, the son of Abraham. Jesus knew that if I should come in the body, I must be associated, connected to a certain thing. And he looked through Moses, who said, Abrahamic, this thing, right? I need to come through this one. I need to come through this one. Somebody shout amen. So if Jesus took it serious, you better take your destiny serious. God's blessing on your life is serious. Don't play. Heaven is serious. Don't play with it. God is serious about your success. He's serious about your prosperity. He's serious about your progress. He's serious about your advantage. He gets angry when you're looking for rent. He gets angry when you cannot pay that debt. He is disturbed with your struggles. Glory to God. Are you ready to pray? If you can speak in tongues, speak in tongues. If you cannot speak in tongues, but you can speak in any language you understand, that's still okay. God hears your heart. Connect. Say, Father, I connect to this. My family, I connect it. My wife and children, I connect them. Commit your business. Commit your office. Open your mouth, and I want to hear you pray. The Bible says the Lord hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Psalms 35 verses 27. He has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Rose brorogo zigararara bazo brekete erekozele pararaba gozerepa. This is the air you're going to buy property. This is the air you're going to build. Don't ask me how, because it's not going to touch your pocket. It's not going to touch your income. It's not even going to connect to the loan you get from the bank. Something is going to locate you. This is the hour you're going to that nation God has spoken to your heart. This is the hour you're settling in your marital destiny. This is the season that promotion is coming. Kings are going to come to your rising. Gentiles are coming to your light. Strangers are serving you. Open your spirit and say something impossible with man. Bible says nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Refuse to settle without the world is saying. Deliver yourself. Speak yourself out of struggle. Speak your family out of struggle. Speak your family out of strife.
What I lacked, you were full of. Where I was broken, and you made whole. Trust the Lord, you're the lover of my soul, and what I for in my life.
so they go.
No fear I tread, I know I am forgiven. My future's sure, the price has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my blood, and he was raised to overthrow.
For your mind, but for your spirit. Tune it. Listen. Go back and listen and allow that thing to consume you. Because this is the season. We are tired of next year. It must break. You must come out of rent
You must build. You must buy land. You must take off. Next year will have its own issues, but this year, say this year, I'm doing the impossible. In Jesus' name. Yes. Yes. So if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, and you say, Pastor, as you are speaking, I feel I need my soul at ease. Nothing heals the soul like salvation. Nothing delivers the human soul like salvation. Giving your heart to Jesus, that's the first thing. So if you're there and you want to receive Jesus, let's repeat these words. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice when you laid down your life for my sins and you were raised for my glory. So today, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm born again. Amen.
This sermon has been brought to you by Phanero Ministries International. For more information, contact us on telephone number +256-200-999-400 or email us at info@phanero.org. You can also find us on the web at www.phanero.org. Follow us on our social media platforms on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Phanero Ministries International. Or better still, feel free to join us every Thursday for our weekly fellowships at the Uma Upper Gardens from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. and for our Sunday services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. at the Uma Multipurpose Hall. Phanero, make manifest.